Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ed Alexander. And I got my Tucson Lifestyle magazine yesterday, and it is really exciting to be working on the other side of the glass from a Tucson legend cover story in Tucson Lifestyle, talking about Tucson radio legends. And there he is from 1979, a long-haired Ed Alexander over at KTKT. The big AM 99 spinning all those hits. But it's a good article. Talks about the kind of the glory days of rock and roll radio in this town. So I strongly advise folks to pick up a copy of Tucson Lifestyle Magazine. Of course, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine is also one of our media sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show, TucsonLifestyle.com. You can see that picture of Ed Alexander and read about the glory days of Tucson radio. We have a full lineup for you of guests today. We're going to start with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, Democrat District Number 5. At about 12:30 today, we're going to talk with Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond is the UA economic forecaster. We're coming up, believe it or not, on the mid-year already as we get ready to close out the fiscal year, which will end at the end of June, but we're about midway through the calendar year. We'll hear what Dr. Hammond's assessment is of our economy midway through the year so far, and then Dr. Mark Sykes will join us from the Planetary Science Institute, based here in Tucson. Richard Elias with me. And speaking of the planets and the heavens, you had an interesting... First of all, good to see you again, Supervisor Elias.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here with you all.
You had an interesting evening up on Kitt Peak last night.
Yeah, it was a beautiful evening, and I spoke to some students that are studying there from the University of Michigan, but also got a chance to do some stargazing, saw some of the planets and the moon and some star clusters and stuff. But some very interesting photos from space of Phoenix and Tucson, and you can really see the effects of the dark sky ordinance and how it's really changed the way we light our community and various communities across the country. But it really is a big part, of protecting the astronomy industry here in Arizona, especially in southern Arizona, where we have a huge investment.
And that's been one of the knocks on the proposed Rosemont mine, is that it would hurt this dark skies ordinance.
Yes, absolutely. And the litigation surrounding the dark sky ordinance continues. But it's really... another symptom of Rosemont destroying jobs and destroying industries in southern Arizona. All part of that balance that you need to put together to have a healthy economy and a healthy place to live.
Well, it's interesting. I saw in the paper in the Star on Sunday that Rosemont, well, now owned by Hud Bay out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, hired a couple of high-profile folks in our community, PR people. And we've said for months here, Richard Elias, that Hud Bay has been flying under the radar screen. I guess that's going to all come to a stop here, and they're going to get more visible.
Yeah, I do believe that's true, and certainly becoming more aggressive in trying to improve their image here in the area, because frankly, I think Augusta did a really poor job of that over the last 10 years. And so I think Hud Bay has a lot of work to do to try and repair and restore their identity here in the community. And it still makes the proposal... It doesn't change the proposal at all. It's still ultimately controversial. We haven't seen any movement from the Army Corps of Engineers on the Section 404 permit or the Section 401 permit. You still have litigation going over the air quality permit. And the EPA has not made any moves, and we've seen a change in leadership at the Coronado National Forest. So I think that the proponents of Rosemont have their hands full right now.
All right, Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor. I already have a call. Someone wants to talk with Supervisor Elias about the upcoming bond election. There will be 8 bonds that voters will be able to make their decision on. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're with Supervisor Elias.
Supervisor Elias, do you believe that any of the bonds except the road work will pass.
Just a second, Tom. We'll be right here with you.
Tom, hang on 1 second, would you please? I need to. I had Richard's headset. Let's see. I got. Can you hear? Oh, go ahead now. Go ahead, Tom, with your question.
Supervisor Elias, do you believe that any bond except the road construction will pass?
Okay, that's a good question, Tom, and a lot of people are asking that question, Supervisor Elias.
I think our bond package is a good set of questions to present to people, and it's really about the quality of life that you want to have. It's really about a set of capital needs that have been set aside for a number of years while we've been trying to make this decision about offering these bonds to folks, and the economy has been difficult. Certainly roads are a popular issue, and people want, and we as a Board of Supervisors want to see those roads improved dramatically. But I think open space is equally as important. Questions surrounding libraries, neighborhood reinvestment, affordable housing, are all critical to us. Job development, our parks are in bad shape and need to be improved. So I think these are really good questions about what our values are and what kind of quality of life we want to have in our community. Frankly, I think they're going to pass, but I think it's going to be a difficult but very important and enlightening conversation over the next few months.
790-2040 for questions and comments for Supervisor Richard Elias. That particular bond, folks do feel that has a pretty good chance of passing. It would do what, Supervisor? That would be $160 million for road repairs, correct?
There would be some rebuilding of roads that are going to happen, a new road that will be built, and a really difficult set of times for us in all of that. And we have not been able to find a really fair way to fund those road improvements, but I think this presents one to us. Each one of the jurisdictions in Pima County, so Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, would all receive a portion of that money to improve their roads as well. And it's all part of a discussion that we need to have about what are the most important arterials to repair at this point, and what are the most important public safety questions to be answered regarding those roads.
Of course, the taxation hearing is coming up. Pima County will be holding a Truth in Taxation public hearing on June the 16th. That's a Tuesday. This is the legally required hearing to be held to notify county taxpayers of the Board of Supervisors' proposal to increase property taxes. And property tax is expected to go up by 20 cents per $100 of assessed value. The reason for this increase, Supervisor Elias, is what?
Well, a good portion of it, especially on the primary, is about cost shifts from the state. We've done a good job of reducing spending. This particular year, we're proposing to spend $22 million less than we spent last year. We've reduced the number of employees we have over the last 5 years from about 7,000 to a little less than 6,000. We've made some big changes. And in the meantime, taxes have had to increase to make up for the money that the state legislature refuses to take responsibility for and include reasonable, intelligent revenue enhancements as a part of their budget packets. So instead, in this particular case, the residents of Pima County are being held unfairly and really in a capricious manner, more accountable than the rest of the state for shifts in costs over to our side of the ledger.
Your colleague, Supervisor Miller, says that we've been subsidized, and she's all in favor of what Doug Ducey is doing. She says he's being very responsible. Your reaction when you hear that from your colleague?
That's just incredibly wrong and short-sighted. And Miss Miller, I respect her. I like her. I think she's funny. But, you know, I think she thinks time began when she became a member of the Board of Supervisors, and that's just simply not true.
And what will it cost the state? What kind of money are we talking about in these shifts? How many millions of dollars?
Well, at this point, we're looking at about $20 million that's going to be shifted over to us. That's a significant number in the primary tax rate. It comes in the form of a number of different proposals that the state put forward. The big one is a 1% cap. And, you know, this is a good example of how capricious the state legislature has been. TUSD was in a situation where they were facing that 1% cap problem as well. They were able to work a deal with the legislature to hold themselves harmless. And the legislature, lo and behold, decided, well, that's okay. You don't have to pay. Instead, we're just going to pass those bills on to Pima County and they can pay.
And there really aren't many alternatives. Pima County does not charge a sales tax.
We are the only county in the state that does not charge a sales tax. And when you look at combined taxes between the various taxing districts, the primary taxes and sales taxes that other counties have, we look pretty much in line with the same amount of money being taken out of the taxpayer's hide.
All right, Supervisor Richard Elias with us, 790-2040. If you have a comment or question for the supervisor, he would be happy to entertain it on this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, where we're live streaming at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and with me in studio is Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Carlos has been waiting very patiently on the live line at 790-2040. He would like to talk with Supervisor Elias. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Supervisor Elias. A comment was made at the right before the break that a cost shift from a 1% tap is being now borne by all of Pima County taxpayers, but that is because of a problem with CUSD.
No, not entirely, but there was about $6 million of that cost shift that was probably caused by TUSD that ultimately has been passed on to all the taxpayers in Pima County via decision made by the state legislature.
Okay.
Got it, Carlos?
And I understand. Well, so if it was a total, so there's now, a total of 20 million, 18 million that's being cost shifted to Pima County because the county was, or the state was picking this up. But so now, if you don't live in TUSD, you're paying for some of TUSD or some other taxing districts that have caused the tax to go above 1%.
Essentially, that's correct, Carlos.
Okay. Thank you, Carlos. Carlos calling us at 790-2040. There is a situation developing. We were talking about the bond election that folks, the city also is going to be having an election. There is a situation developing here where folks may be, there's going to be separate ballots if the city and the county can't get together on this deal. Where does that stand right now?
Well, that's a really complicated thing, but very important to all of us. The city currently has an all-male election, and the county does not. And by state statute, we're prohibited from having an all-male election. So consequently, we have to find some way to mat up those two election types for this November, so that we don't put voters in a situation where they might have to go to the polls to vote for bonds and be able to vote at home on a mail ballot for their representatives on the mayor and council. Mm-hmm. Really, it's about money and a decision that the Tucson City Council already made that they could go back on, and we can find a way to fix this. I think it's imperative that we all hear from the public right now about what is important, and that's making sure that as many people get an opportunity to voice their opinions on the bonds and the very important mayor and council races that are taking place this year in the city of Tucson.
Well, we will have the mayor on the program tomorrow. He'll be our Friday Focus interview, so we'll ask him about progress or lack of it in resolving that. But, you know, this could really be kind of a logistic nightmare that if people are going to have to, you know, they vote by mail for the city election, and then they have to go to a polling place for the county election.
That would really throw a kink in everybody's act, so to speak, and put us all in a situation where I think some of the council candidates will not do as well. Some of them might do better. But this is really about what's important to voters, and that's making it easy to voice your opinion, easy to participate in an election that's critical to the well-being of your community. And until we get to that point, we are really in a spot where we need to have some things worked out very quickly so that our elections divisions and recorders division can get themselves going in the right direction, and the city clerk and their elections process can get themselves going in the right direction to make a difference for people in their lives rather than political convenience.
Would you characterize it as being at an impasse right now?
No, discussions are still going on. This is not at an impasse, and we still have about another week and a half to get this thing worked out. I truly believe that we will, but I think people need to be heard from because it's important to all of us.
790-2040, 790-2040. Supervisor Elias will stick around for another 5 minutes, so there's plenty of time for you to get in a question for him. The Postal Service, there was some good news. It looks like the Postal Processing Center, that decision by the United States Post Office to move the processing center up to Phoenix, has at least been delayed a year. What are you hearing about that, Supervisor?
Well, I think that's a real positive, and a big thanks to the union and to Richard Fimbres, who has really worked on this issue hard, absolutely critical to Pima County and to our elections, and especially to people who live out in the Tohono O'odham Reservation who receive medications by mail. And the speed of the mail is important. The jobs are important to us, too. Tucson was put in a very bad position. We're the largest SMSA in the United States that was going to lose its processing center. So at least having the Fed slow down, take a look at it, and special thanks to Congressman Grijalva as well for working hard on this issue. Can make a big difference in a lot of the lives of our elders, in the way we vote, in the way important information and money exchanges hands every day here in Tucson.
Yeah, there was someone, was one of my Facebook friends, posted saying it took, she had a letter in her hand from somewhere like within a block of her house that was posted like 8 days. It took 8 days to get this particular letter basically around the block, which is really, come on, that is just there. Tucson, Arizona, a million people, not having its own, first of all, postmark stamp is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It really is.
It really is. And like I said, the jobs and the impact to us, we really don't even start to understand at this juncture.
So hopefully the Postal Service is getting the picture here that, come on, we do need some kind of our own processing center here in Pima County. Let's go back to the live line, 790-2040. Elizabeth would like to talk with Supervisor Elias. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Yes, I'd like to know that given the shortfall of a constant raising of taxes on the property owners, no matter who we are, whether we're renters or owners or whatever, since we all have to pay it, how do you people justify taking your budgets that you have in the amounts that you have left over and giving them to supposed nonprofits who turn around and give you donations when you run for re-election? Why aren't you going to return some of that money and check, by the way, Huckleberry's expense report to make up for some of this fact that we don't have enough money?
Okay.
You know, that's just simply not true. I've never done that. I've always played by the rules that have been presented to me. I will continue to do so. There are people in my community that have needs. There are people in District 5 that have extreme needs. We have a lot of low-income people there. I will not apologize for helping them. Those nonprofits are effective and make a big difference, especially in the lives of children and our elders. So there's no problem there. And there are absolutely no links to me and any political connections or political contributions that have been made. That's just complete fallacy. And I assure you that I'll always play by the rules that are presented to me by the voters and by the Board of Supervisors.
And this caller, you believe, is mischaracterizing you as that you were doing this for votes, in effect, to help people.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's just one of those rumors that floats out there that has really been propagated by people who are politically motivated themselves.
Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, with us. Only have about a minute and a half left with him. Certainly, this budget will be discussed again. That meeting is open to the public. It is that Truth in Taxation hearing, and everyone is invited to come out. That meeting will be on Tuesday the 16th, and that will be in the usual place, right, Supervisor?
Yes.
The Supervisor's Chamber?
130 West Congress on the first floor. 9 o'clock.
And everybody is invited to come out. The new fiscal year will begin. The 2016 fiscal year will begin on July 1st, and that's a good segue to talk about kind of the mid-year economic forecast, which is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Supervisor, thank you very much for taking a half an hour out of your lunch hour to come by and be on the program. Appreciate it.
Well, it's always great to be here on Buckmaster, and so far we haven't broken the 100-degree mark.
Yes.
But I got a feeling it's coming.
I can't believe it. I was away a couple of weeks, and I came back, and we had still not hit 100 degrees. But I think you're right. I think this weekend we will. But it is later than usual. I think the average is somewhere in mid-May, so we did hold off a while. Thanks again, Richard.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, 12:30, almost exactly on the head, and the Buckmaster Show will continue. Dr. George Hammond, UA economic forecaster, is next.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up, our Friday Focus interview, we'll talk with the Tucson Mayor, Jonathan Rothschild. Our Friday Roundtable features Mari Herreras of the Tucson Weekly and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and I'm Bill Buckmaster at 12:34. Well, I'm Bill Buckmaster at 12:35. I'm always Bill Buckmaster, right? But we are with you on this Thursday afternoon on KVOI AM 1030. We also have the live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. We were talking about the Pima County fiscal year ending. It's really ending for all the governmental entities, and it's a good time to kind of take a look here at a kind of a mid-year assessment of where we are with the Tucson economy. With me in studio, Dr. George Hammond, the director of the Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Dr. Hammond is also a research professor at the center. George, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks.
So we're pushing toward kind of the mid-year point. It's always a good time to kind of look back. How is the year, the first 5 months? How have we done so far, George?
So far, we are continuing to grow. In April, Tucson added about 4,000 jobs, which is a growth rate of about 1.1%, and that's a bit faster than our growth rate last year, so that's an improvement. But it's about half the national job growth and slower than what we're seeing statewide on average and for Phoenix. So we're kind of grinding out sort of slow and steady job growth here in the local area.
And Phoenix doing much better or a little bit better?
Much better. Phoenix is growing at 2.8%.
And that translates roughly into quite a few jobs.
Yes, that would be in the neighborhood of a little bit more than 50,000 jobs.
Where are these new jobs that we are creating, even though it is a small percentage? They are jobs, but where are they? I mean, what sectors?
We're seeing job growth primarily in service providing sectors. So that would be education and health services, trade, leisure and hospitality, and then also professional and business services, which is where you tend to find the call center type jobs. Also engineers, management consultants. There's really a wide range of occupations there. But that's where we're seeing the job gains. Where we're not seeing the job growth is really in manufacturing, especially aerospace, and then in government. Overall, particularly federal government activity locally is still being hit by the federal fiscal drag, and one big part of that is the sequester, still affecting the local economy.
We had the head of the Tucson Realtors on the show on Tuesday, and that market is slowly coming back, the real estate business, and the median price is going up, which is good news. However, construction employment is still lagging.
Yes. Yeah. The housing recovery has really been a kind of a slow, torturous process. It has been ongoing. We are making progress, but it's really slow. And I think a big part of what's driving that is our slow population growth. And I think as we look over the next couple of years, I think we'll see particularly income growth nationally pick up a little bit of steam. And that's going to help with residential mobility really across the U.S. So I think people will be moving around the U.S. more. Arizona and Tucson are still very attractive migration destinations. And I think we'll start to see our population growth pick up some steam. And it's that kind of fundamental driver that I think will really drive our housing activity at a much faster pace.
The Arizona Department of Administration, they did their forecast at the beginning of the year. They were calling for, I think, a 2.2% growth rate over the year. And they were saying that many of these jobs that are being created only require a high school diploma or less. But certainly, I think in the long run, a college degree makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Keep in mind that the college attainment rate nationally and in Arizona is right around 30% or a little bit more. So naturally, most of the job growth that we see is going to be for occupations that require a bit less than that. But that college attainment rate it has been a key driver of economic growth across states and local areas during the past 30 years. It's going to be a more important driver as we look to the next 30 years. So that is really a key element that we need to focus on for the state. Improving our overall educational outcomes will make a huge difference in our growth 20 or 30 years down the road.
Dr. George Hammond is with us. The live line number is 790-2040. Let's go to the live line right now, and our friend Jim Kelly is calling. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Dr. Hammond, quick question. $10 an hour jobs in a call center don't normally grow populations. What industries in Tucson would actually grow our population and expand our economy?
Okay.
Well, what we want to see is a mix of jobs across educational levels and occupations. So seeing those call center jobs is certainly helpful. There are, you know, that's a type of job that can be attractive, that can help people make ends meet, that can lead to careers down the road. But we do want to see job growth locally that focuses a bit more on higher education requirements, higher skill levels across those jobs. And you find those kind of jobs really across many different industries. Of course, manufacturing more and more is an area that requires higher and higher skill levels. But we do find those kind of skill levels across the professional and business services sector, across governments, even in retail trade. There are many occupations there that require relatively high levels of skill and high levels of educational attainment. And of course, don't forget about healthcare. There's a real mix there between jobs that require very high levels of training with doctors and then lower levels of training.
How are we doing with our exports to Mexico? Mexico, the peso has certainly been down against the dollar over the last year.
Absolutely. That's really been a striking trend that's emerged over the last year. And the export picture has really been a bright spot for the state. Particularly in 2014, we saw Arizona's exports around the world rise by almost 9%, more than double the state rate of growth, more than double the national rate of growth. And exports to Mexico were up 22% last year. So we saw a very large increase in exports to Mexico, and that's helped to boost activity statewide.
Does that slow when you have the peso being weak against the dollar?
Yes, as the dollar rises against the peso, that will tend to increase our imports from Mexico and decrease our exports. We'll probably start to see some of the effects of that emerge next year. But you want to keep in mind that there are other factors that matter as well, particularly if Mexico continues to grow. That will tend to support continued export growth.
How does the low gas prices, they've been relatively low, they've gone up, of course, fairly recently, but does that help a household save a little bit?
Absolutely. We've seen those gas prices fall significantly over the past year. They're at the moment down about $1 per gallon. One way to kind of judge the impacts of that is that Arizona gas stations sold about 2.67 billion gallons of gas last year. So a dollar per gallon cheaper means $2.67 billion that are freed up for households to spend. In Tucson, that works out to almost $370 per person. Mm. So that frees up a significant amount of resources for people to both spend and to save. It looks like so far, however, at least what we're seeing nationally is that people are tending to save a significant portion of those funds and not so much spending them.
We haven't had, as you mentioned, you alluded to this, the population growth has really leveled off in Arizona. Is that a direct impact of the very slow, which has been a slow economy nationwide, people maybe not just deciding not to sell their home and relocate and then figuring there maybe aren't the jobs that there once were here in Arizona?
Yeah, you want to keep in mind that job growth across many states in the nation is slower now than it was before the Great Recession. So for the nation as a whole, you know, we're not seeing the same kind of job growth. What we're really seeing nationally is low rates of residential mobility. People just aren't moving across states and around states as much these days as they were before the Great Recession. But you want to keep in mind that Arizona is still a really attractive migration destination. And when that mobility picks up, I think we'll start to pick up a lot more migrants.
George Hammond is with us. Dr. Hammond, the director and research professor at the Eller College of Management at the U of A. Very important breakfast coming up with the economists, including Dr. Hammond. That is coming up on June 3rd at the Westin La Paloma. Are tickets still available, George?
Yes, they are. Your listeners can register at our website, which is eller.arizona.edu/breakfast.
And what can we expect if we go to that event?
I will be giving a detailed update on where the nation, Arizona, and Tucson are at the moment. And we'll also have a special guest, which will be Roberto Coronado from the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. And he will be talking about how the Mexican economy is doing and what we can expect from Mexico going forward.
And again, it is eller.arizona.edu/breakfast to attend that event, and that is June 3rd at the Westin La Paloma, featuring UA economist George Hammond and Federal Reserve economist Roberto Coronado. Dr. Hammond, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for giving us kind of a preview of what you're going to be talking about on June 3rd here on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bill. Great to see you.
Nice to see you. Coming up on 12:45 on this Thursday afternoon. Let's take a break right here. We'll be back with Dr. Mark Sykes, and we'll go out of this world talking about the Planetary Science Institute right after this.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five Star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM. Positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love. And pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature.
Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Yes, it's going to be nearly 100 degrees, probably at 100 or more this weekend, which means Silver City looks very, very good right now. That three-hour road trip puts you up at the 6,000 to 7,000-foot elevation, so it'll be a very pleasant weekend over there, and you might want to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. You can check out all the many things to do, and the great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Casitas de Gila guest houses, by visiting southwestnewmexico.com. Let's welcome now Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating now its 43rd year as a Tucson-based nonprofit that's engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is the former chair of the NASA Small Bodies Assessment Group. This is not just people who have small bodies, but planets that are a small body in size. Dr. Sykes, very involved over the years with the planet Pluto, which, first of all, good to see you, Mark.
Great to be here, Bill.
Celebrating the year of Pluto up at the Lowell Observatory, because I guess this is kind of 2015 is the year of Pluto.
Oh, well, it's the year of the dwarf planet, too. So you gotta stick Ceres in there as well, you know.
So the NASA's New Horizons spacecraft is on the final leg of its journey to Pluto, which will make its closest approach, New Horizons, on July 14th. And this gets real personal for you.
I spent some time studying Pluto over the years. Early on, we used to think that it was a uniform temperature over its entire surface because of its atmosphere. I analyzed some telescope observations of it from space in the infrared and determined that no, it's maybe has ice caps and a darker, warmer equatorial region. And now we're starting to see ice caps come through. So it's really very neat. And I plan to be out there on July 14th to be with the team to watch it go by.
And it will go by Pluto, and that process takes how long?
Not long at all. It's going pretty fast, but that distance, it's such a distance away, it's going to take about a year to get all the data back.
Ah, so this was a long time ago, as I recall. You had that science paper, so you're kind of ahead of the curve there, weren't you, on this?
Oh, well, so many things.
So what is the thinking? So the ice caps, then?
But ice at Pluto is different. I mean, at Pluto, water is like rock. Mm-hmm. And of course, you get methane ice on the surface as well, and galactic cosmic rays generates that into carbon. So that gives you kind of darker areas. But the ice that we see in the ice caps are actually nitrogen ice. And that's where most of the Pluto atmosphere is from. It has primarily a nitrogen atmosphere like the Earth, but colder.
Is there a warm side to Pluto?
Well, yeah, but warm at Pluto is like 50 degrees above, 55 degrees above absolute zero.
But there is kind of an equatorial region, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a little bit warmer than...
Yeah, the ice caps are probably in the 30s.
Yeah, so the anniversary that I was talking about, the year of Pluto, that would go back to the discovery of Pluto by the Lowell Observatory Clyde Tombaugh, 1930.
Yeah. It's an Arizona discovery.
So, yeah. I mean, Pluto, and then this whole argument about
Is it a planet or not a planet? I think I know where you probably come down on
well,
that.
Well, I think it's reasonable to call it a dwarf planet, but dwarf is an adjective. You know, and actually dwarf planets are the most common kinds of planets we have in the solar system. And we have a spacecraft, the Dawn spacecraft, which I'm involved with, which is orbiting another dwarf planet, Ceres, at this point in time. And we're discovering that these are absolutely fascinating worlds. And when we get to Pluto, Pluto is twice the diameter of Ceres, or more than that, 2.5 times. And it's big enough to not just be round, but it's got an atmosphere. It's got seasons. It's going to have weather. It's, you know, maybe we're going to see geysers like we see on Triton. It's going to be a spectacular world.
Ceres is very cool, and people have now detected what is perhaps a pyramid. I guess the Egyptians got there a long time ago. Now, there is kind of this, put that in quotes.
Yeah, this is going to be in the news now.
Yeah, it's a pyramid on Ceres, and folks can take a look at that.
Google it. Yeah. It's like an isolated mountain, and it has kind of a flat top, but it just kind of sticks out. I was thinking of what I saw. I was thinking of the mountain in the Lord of the Rings, you know, the Lonely Mountain or whatever. But it's a fascinating feature. And what causes it? Well, that's a question which we hope to answer as we get closer. Could it be plumes from the interior that's causing? Is it a remnant of cryovolcanism? Is it some ice plates that got, you know, smushed up? Is it something like what we call not palimpsest, but missing the feature right now, but we see some ice-driven features on Earth and possibly Mars that maybe similar process here. So it's just one of many fascinating structures that we're discovering on Ceres that we're scratching our heads now, but we'll figure it out.
Just like folks thought there was something going on Mars a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
A face.
It was cool. Yeah. I mean, it looked like, but then you get the higher resolution, you see the pits and the, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's natural, but, you know, one can have fun with this stuff.
News about the NASA probe of Europa, and there will be an Arizona connection and a connection to your organization, the Planetary Science Institute. I think you have, you have three scientists involved with that project?
Yes, we have scientists involved with several instruments that are going to be built at other institutions. They're co-investigators. We had a proposal in there too, but it didn't get selected, unfortunately. So it's exciting. The Europa mission will be scheduled sometime in the mid to late 2020s, I think. So they're trying to figure out what instruments can do what work, and some of these will be doing a radar probing of, but to see what's beneath the ice, and perhaps what's beneath the ocean. Beneath the ice, and to get a sense of the environment and whether that environment could promote life.
And we're talking about an orbit of the planet Jupiter performing 45 Europa flybys over a 3-year period with altitudes ranging from 25 kilometers to 1,700 kilometers. So we're certainly going to learn a lot more about Jupiter, aren't we?
Yeah, that will be a side product, but for Europa, the problem with Europa is that it's in kind of a nasty radiation environment because it's sitting in Jupiter's magnetic field with all these charged particles flying around, and so if you were to put a spacecraft in orbit around Europa, then it would get fried pretty quick, and so that's why they're doing these close passes. You know, in order to try to get as much information before everything gets fried.
And so the Europa's ice has broken down, the materials from down below have come to the surface.
Well, there's a lot of water, you know, and Europa is close enough to Jupiter that, well, you know, the closer moon is Io, and that's just so close that the tidal heating of it. It has just made the whole thing molten. You know, well, Europa is a little further away, and so it kind of crushes the surface as it orbits, and the tides rise and fall, you know, as it moves around. And so that's why the ice on the surface is cracked. You go further out, and you see Ganymede, and you don't see the kind of features on Ganymede. It's more of an ice ball because it's not experiencing the kind of high tides that Europa and Io are experiencing.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us from the Planetary Science Institute. Where can people find out more about the work you do at the Planetary Science Institute and become, like I am, a friend of PSI?
Well, go to www.psi.edu.
And they can get the whole
picture. You can find out about everything that we do. You can sign up to be a friend. You can see our latest news on there. You can even look at our newsletters, which are also archived on that site.
I was thinking about you as I was on the Big Island. You've been over there observing in the past. The stars at night are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's what happens when you don't have a lot of pollution, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been observing at the top of Mauna Kea back years ago, and spectacular. You see the shadow of the mountain on the clouds, you know, near sunset. And Mauna Loa, one's erupting, so you see the lava coming up, but the smoke stopping at 10,000 feet because of an inversion layer, then you're another 3,000 feet above that.
Incredible island when you're talking about two huge mountains over 14,000 foot on one relatively small island. Dr. Mark Sykes, thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, then Ed Alexander, who you can read all about in Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, one of the legends of Tucson radio. Ed will be back with Wake Up Tucson Gang 6 to 8 tomorrow, Wake, and then the Daily Double from 9 to 10 with, 8 to 9. We'll be back with you at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.